Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and welcome to our podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is the missing Sodder children. This is a mystery that occurred back in tragic events that occurred back in 1945 when the Sodder family, who lived in West Virginia, their house caught fire on Christmas Eve back in 1945, and five of their 10 children were killed. Well, we presume they were killed. They have five of their bodies were, their remains have never been found. So that's the kind of the mystery to it all. And we'll talk about this story, but before we do, let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very talented and lovely, the Annette Funicello of podcasting, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Cob, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, pill popping, penis loving, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Annette Funicello.
I just threw that in at the end, you know. Just
I don't understand what that means.
I'm improving.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, I know.
But thank you.
Well, you kind of remind me of her.
Do I? Because yeah. I'm perky and part of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, I would ask Charles if you were perky, but he hasn't been introduced yet. But how are you today, Brandy?
I'm well. I got to have lunch with my good friend. And
yes, and you want to tell everyone who that was?
My good friend, Kate.
Kate, who is a listener.
She is a listener.
She's active on the History Dweebs, the podcast page. So I got the pleasure of meeting Kate for the first time. And
yes.
That was awesome. And Kate is going to come in at some point and sit in on a podcast.
Yes, and she's stoked about that.
We might be able to replace you-know-who, you know.
We might.
We can upgrade.
Well, he wouldn't know because he stopped paying attention.
I know. But let me
He can't multitask.
He cannot. But are you excited about this topic?
I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
This is the final episode in our Creepy Christmas series. For this year, anyway. Perhaps we'll revisit some Creepy Christmas stories in 2017, because we have agreed to continue the podcast through the upcoming year, at least.
Our contract with Libsyn has been renewed.
Yeah,
they picked us up for one more year.
Yeah. And paying the bills. Let me introduce a man that really needs no introduction. A man of great renown, the very honorable, and really the moral compass of not only our podcast, but I think podcasts in general. The very distinguished Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing well, Timmy. I'm trying to finish up my Christmas shopping, that's all.
Have you got much more to do?
I'm done tonight. Whatever gets done tonight, whoever don't get gifts, they're just shit out of luck.
Kind of like your shout-outs, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
If you forget to write down
if
their
I
name.
If I forget to write down the name.
You're pretty much
We was in the store the other night looking for, last night. See, Renee does this thing where she goes out.
Were you shopping at Hustler? Because that's where I'm going
to
do
That's where I would like to go shopping. But mm-hmm. Renee does this thing where she goes out shopping blindly. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what she's going to get.
Oh, that's the worst.
She just got a list of names of people she's getting stuff for.
Right.
And Renee gets, like, the lady who walks her dog up the street and Renee says hello to, she got to get a Christmas present for her. You know,
she's one of those people. This woman today gave my bus driver a gift. And I'm like,
that's very nice.
It makes me look bad.
It does make you look bad. She's trying to show you up.
I'm going to fucking kick her ass.
I would. I would push off the bus.
I'm going to trip her.
Definitely.
Is that Randy, are you a shopper or do you have... Now, when I go shopping, I have specific things I'm going to buy. Uh-huh. I go right to that thing and I pick it up. No. How about you? Do you look around? Or?
Yeah, much to my husband's dismay, I look around and, you know, sometimes I have an idea of what I want, mm-hmm. but most of the time it's just...
You're looking for inspiration.
I'm looking for something to speak to me.
Now, well, I look around a lot. Like, when I go to brothels, I won't jump at the first thing you don't, catch my eye.
You got to scan them.
Yeah.
You know what Renee will do, Timmy? Like, last night, we're in Target, and she picks up a pillow.
Tarjay.
Yeah, Tarjay. And she's like, oh, I kind of like this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, who the fuck are we going to buy that for? And she's like, well, no, not as a gift.
I like a good pillow.
My point is,
a nice pillow, Brandy?
I do enjoy a good pillow.
If it ain't a gift for somebody, put the goddamn thing down and let's get Christmas shopping. We're here to Christmas shop. We ain't here to browse. I don't care what you like. We get a goddamn Christmas gift for somebody.
Now, this is a woman that's been out of town for 10 days, and you're talking to her like,
he's not saying shit.
Dear.
What concerns me is...
Let's buy four of them, dear.
Well, and basically what you're saying is that you're a dick.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying...
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
There is time to Christmas shop. It's like the bird song. For everything, turn. There's a season. It's a fucking season to Christmas shop, all right?
It is.
It ain't the Christmas season to browse. It ain't the season to be looking at shoes for yourself.
You remember that time, Brandy, when we were talking and he got in trouble with Renee?
I do.
Would you like to tell our listeners what happened?
Well, I mean, which time? Because there have been
several. The time when he was on the group text.
You go ahead.
So we were... Chuck was getting a group text from your sons and your wife. Was that?
Yeah.
And Chuck has problems. He has issues with group text because he doesn't know who the message is coming from and he can't see all the particulars.
I don't like group text.
It gets complicated for him.
It's like a conference call.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
So basically he called, what did you call your kids? I believe it was motherfuckers.
I said the only thing worse than being in this family is being in a group text with you motherfuckers.
Like 3 seconds later, his phone.
He got a phone call from Renee. It was pretty awesome.
And then, he's like, and you could tell she hung up on him like after 2 seconds or something. And he's talking like, okay, I'll stop by and bring some milk home, dear. We all knew, everyone in the room knew she's already hung up on him.
Because you knew because you could hear her yelling. And then
there was none.
Charles. Are you excited about this topic, Charles?
Nothing excites me more than a good fire with missing bodies.
We're getting of all of our creepy Christmas episodes, they have all, except one, has involved fire. We had the flame-throwing Santa.
I still like that one.
Iroquois Theater fire that killed how many people, Brandy?
602.
Yes. And now we
by asphyxiation.
Now we have the fire that occurred.
And that was because they didn't have proper fire codes.
Yes.
Just in case anybody was wondering.
Well, and the fire curtain was made of...
Paper.
All right. So we're going to get into the Solder Children in just a few moments. But before we do, I want to give a shout out to all of our Patreon subscribers. The way that we're able to stay on the air and pay the bills is through your generous donations. As you probably realize, we don't have advertisement on the show. And, you know, we get a lot of advertisers that contact us, like Procter & Gamble, GE.
General Electric. Yeah, they called the other day.
Yeah, they just all
It's
want.
Ridiculous, really.
It's embarrassing. Let's face it, it's embarrassing. But we are insistent that we're not going to take advertisers. And, you know,
we're not selling out, Timmy.
No, unless they give us a lot of money. Or it's Bob Mears and Son.
Well, Bob Mears, yeah.
Yeah, because he's a personal friend of ours. But anyway.
Yeah, he is.
we are able to stay on the air through the generous donations of those of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support the podcast, support the arts, as it were.
Quality programming.
Please go to patreon.com/historydweebs, and you can give a little, you can give a lot, or you can give how much?
Oh, just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Everything helps. So we want to give a shout out to those.
You can just give the tip, if you like.
That's enough, Colonel. I'd like to give a shout out for those who are generous and support the podcast. That includes Alicia and Chip, Jean Moyer. Thank you, Jean, for your very generous donation. Annette Petre.
You gotta get, now. Annette. See, I let her put you put her on your list, and now you got her name all fucked up. She's gonna put a nasty thing on there.
No.
So, but I'll tell you,
Petre in the Bronx, New York.
I'll tell you how you make it up to Annette.
Okay.
Listeners, what you need to do.
I don't remember that you asked.
Well, I would like to make it up to Annette because she's really cool. She lives in the Bronx, and she maybe let me sleep on her couch sometime if I'm ever
I doubt
New York.
It.
Well,
go to her website.
I like to couch surf, Colonel.
I know you have, Timmy.
Saves money. And
Annette has a website. Annette makes body butters and creams and lotions and soaps.
Yes, she has a small business.
She runs it through her Facebook page, Obsessively Calm.
Is the name of it. Is it
Obsessively Calm?
.com?
No, it's on Facebook.
Okay.
Do Facebook Obsessively Calm.
Okay.
I'm
going to order some
I got some body butter coming myself because you know I like my body buttered up, Timmy. I like to be buttered up. Devil, you want to butter me up? Just put a little on the side here. Put a little butter right
that
there.
That is
devil.
Gross.
Come on, bud. Come on, devil.
I know you like to get all naked and then
buttered. I like to be buttered, Timmy.
Yeah. Like popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Mrs. Colonel ever put butter on you?
Oh, she knows which side of the bread her toast is buttered on.
What?
That'd be no.
I don't know what that means.
That's what I took of it. That's what I took from it too. Okay, so Annette Petre. Mm-hmm. Annette, thank you very much for your generous donation. Lise over there in Norway, thank you, Lise. We really appreciate it. But please check on Knut for us. Leslie Hagar, very kind of you, Leslie, to contribute to the podcast. Thank you very much. Amber Scoville, thank you, Amber. Jahara, whose Miami Dolphins may win the Super Bowl this year. Thank you, Jahara.
They ain't getting out of the playoffs. What are you talking about?
I don't know. They're playing pretty well, and I told her that they were going to be good this year, and I was right. Andrew Happ, thank you, Andrew. Mandy Swanson, thank you, Mandy. Jennifer Siemens, of course, and her son, Hunter, as well as Jennifer's mother, Linda. Thank you all very much. Bridget Clavey, who is very sweet, very generous. Thank you, Bridget. Cindy Lou, I know who Colonel is a roller girl.
She's a roller girl.
Libertarian roller girl.
Gun-toting.
Yes. But she is also a Patreon. We love you. Thank you, Cindy. Heather Poole just joined Patreon. Heather, thank you very much. We've got Charlie and Allie from, of course, the Insight podcast, which is excellent. If you ever get a chance, please check it out. And then, of course, Rudy the Wonder Dog. He also contributes to the podcast. So thank you, Rudy. And that's all we're going to say about him.
When I said just a wee bit, Rudy took me up on
it. Yeah. Well, you know, it's tough making a living as a dog.
Yeah.
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 Not a lot of jobs out there for dogs.
Rudy says, pimping.
Now, monkeys.
Monkeys got a little grinder wheel and thing. They just give people money. Yeah.
You can work
people throw money at them.
Fancy monkeys.
Plus, they got thumbs. They can steal money.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Rudy can't steal money. He ain't got no thumbs.
Poor Rudy. All right, let's talk about the missing Sodder children, shall we?
Sure.
In 1895, Brandy, that was 5 years before the turn of the century.
Thank you.
Mm. And they do it a weird way, Brandy. Even though it was 1900, it becomes the 20th century. I know that always throws you.
Yeah, actually it was the 1800s, 1895.
Yeah, 1895, but when it turns 1900, it becomes the 20th century.
But when it turns, yeah, but when you get into the 2000s, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to worry when I was a kid because I didn't know how the calendar, what was going to happen to the calendar when 2000 started, you know? So I always felt the world was going to end in 1999. like when I was like 10 or so. I was freaking out. I was concerned about Y2K well before anyone else.
I'm not surprised.
Well, someone has to worry about it. In 1895, George Sauter was born in Sardinia, Italy. Over in the old country, Colonel.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the first mafiosos, Timmy.
Well, no, I don't believe so. But
he was Italian. You know he's probably in the mafia.
Well, there's some rumors of mafia involvement in this story. We'll get to a little bit later on. 13 years later, so what would be Brandy if it was 1895?
She don't know. She playing on the phone, Timmy.
1895. How come I can't do nothing? Later, that would be 1908, which was the year
of the cat.
Peg Entwistle was born.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And the year of the cat
was
in the Chinese
a topic
calendar.
Of our last podcast.
Yeah, I remember. I was
check
here.
Out all of our podcasts on iTunes. Anyway, 1908. George Sauter immigrated to the United States with an older brother. His older brother checked in to cleared customs at Ellis Island and then returned home.
Oh, short trip.
Place. Fuck this place. This doesn't even look cool. I'm going back to the old country where I can have some.
Excuse me, hold on,
spaghetti.
Mr. Boat. Hold
no,
on.
Nothing. Spaghetti didn't come. Spaghetti came from China, didn't it?
Mm-mm.
I thought spaghetti came from China. Am I wrong?
No, that's a myth, Timmy.
All right.
Chuck knows.
Check that out, Brent. Write that down.
I'm not going to do that.
For the rest of his life, George Sauter, as he became known, because he had a different name that I couldn't pronounce in Italian, would not talk much about why he left his homeland. So maybe there was some...
The old country.
Maybe, you know, maybe there was some...
You know there was
something going on there. We don't know. Let's don't speculate. Let's don't ruin the man's reputation, even though he's been dead for a long time.
He burned his wife and kids up.
No. George eventually found work on the railroads in Pennsylvania, carrying water and other supplies to the workers. I wonder if he was a Gandhi dancer.
He's a Gandhi dancer. Or a private dancer. Or maybe
a dancer for money?
Yeah, he'll do what you want him to do. Or a tiny dancer.
Did you ever see that skit on Saturday Night Live, Tiny Elvis? Oh, my God, it was hilarious. It's fucking hilarious.
No.
All right.
Spaghetti was invented in China, but it was not until it got to Italy that they put the marinara sauce on it.
Then I was fucking right, then.
Well, no, because they didn't do anything with it.
I was correct, right,
you
Brandy?
Were correct.
Thank you. Randy always has my back.
Well, fuck, the Chinese been around forever, and there's like 6 billion of them. You'd think they'd invent most of the shit. What they doing with their time?
Wow. Chuck, that's...
Playing checkers? After a few years...
Wow. Wow.
Well, they have Chinese checkers.
You know, they're whooping our ass in math.
Yeah, well, they do that.
I can't
do
forget
that
Chinese checker shit, man. That's confusing.
I don't even like it.
Because yeah, you don't know how to play it.
Well, I know how to play. You just move your balls around.
Why
but I can sit
Chinese
on my chair and move my balls around.
I wondered that.
Hi. Hi. Oh, tell me about...
George Sauter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
You ever play 3D chess, Timmy? Like three-level chess?
I've never even played one-level chess.
Oh, okay.
I played with chess.
I like playing with chess.
I do to a point, but then you got to move on. I mean, it gets boring after a while.
No, it never really gets
George
boring.
George Sauter did what?
George Sauter, after a few years, he took a more permanent position working in Smithers, West Virginia. He was
working for Mr. Smithers?
No, in the town of Smithers.
Excellent.
Excellent.
It was Smithers, West Virginia, which is almost heaven.
I don't think it is.
He was a driver.
Was he a Gandhi driver?
No. I guess he could have been, but not to my knowledge.
Okay.
After a few more years, he started his own trucking company. He was hauling field dirt to construction sites and later hauling coal that was mined in the region. Because, you know, of course, West Virginia is coal country, Colonel.
It is coal country.
They went for Trump.
He's going to bring the jobs back there, Timmy.
Jeannie Serparini. Why is it that Italian names often rhyme?
She could have been Greek.
Jeannie Serparini. No, she was Italian. She was a storekeeper's daughter in the town of Smithers.
Not a coal miner's daughter?
No.
God rest thee soul.
Yeah.
She did not like Loretta Lynch.
She did
you
not.
Know, Timmy, this
you know what? The greatest lyrics ever written was in that song Coal Miner's Daughter.
And what was that?
The line goes something to the effect, the lyrics are, the work we done was hard, at night we slept, because we were tired. Now, yeah. That's fucking Paul McCartney territory there.
Nah, I'll tell you what, those Appalachian people can make shit rhyme, and it ain't supposed to rhyme.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. Hard and tired. Yeah. That shit ain't supposed to rhyme.
Anyway.
That's why my grandmother hated her.
Yeah, your grandmother didn't. Sweet D did not like Loretta Lynn.
No.
She didn't like
She didn't like Sissy Spacek. Sissy Spacek, because Sissy Spacek played Loretta Lynn in Coal Miner's Daughter. And she didn't like the lady from Field of Dreams because she looked like Sissy Spacek, who played Loretta Lynn in Coal Miner's Daughter.
Timmy, this has been bothering me ever since we got onto Coal Miners here.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, we had during the campaign, Hillary Clinton said she was going to put the coal miners out of business, out of work. And Donald Trump said he was going to bring coal mine jobs back, right? So the coal miners all voted for Donald Trump, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Well, why wouldn't somebody say, you know what, we're going to get rid of those coal miner jobs and get you guys some easy jobs? Because that shit's hard.
Yeah.
As is portrayed in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And at night, you have to sleep because you're tired.
Because you're tired. I mean, bring some easy jobs back to the region. Don't bring those hard-ass jobs back.
No.
I got to go down there. I come out all dirty and shit. My shoes ruined.
You know, I never could understand about environmentalists is that they don't want you to cut down trees to make paper, right?
Okay.
But as long as trees are valuable, they're always going to plant more trees, right?
One would think.
Environmentalists tend to hand out a lot of leaflets too. So
yeah, they do hand out a lot of leaflets.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It's Shonda. That's a question for her.
Yeah, we're gonna have that. It's the environmental paradox to me.
It really is.
But no, I just that's been bugging me ever since. Why would you say? Bring these hard-ass jobs back here. Just bring me an easy job back here.
You want something like your
I
want
to be like a valet. I want to be the business service manager at Superjobs or whatever. Yeah,
be a valet.
A valet?
A valet, yeah.
But no, just, valet's different.
Don't bring me no hard jobs. Why are you doing that shit?
A valet's different. I've seen Downton Abbey.
Where does a valet put their money?
In your car.
In a wallet.
Exactly.
Nice.
Good job, Colonel. You're on fire.
I don't miss much, Tim.
Miss much.
It must get by you. All right. So the couple, anyway, he marries Jeannie, who's a storekeeper's daughter. And her family also come from Italy. And her and George Sauter get married in 1923 when they have the first of 10 children.
Holy son of a bitch.
Now, what would you think about... She's got some vaginal capacity there, Colonel.
Oh, she's got quite the vagina. Now, think about it, devil. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You only popped out 2.
And then she had to have drugs.
Yeah, you had drugs.
I had drugs.
Yeah,
well,
this
I bet
woman...
You, I bet you're
this woman
right
out
I
in the field,
I bet she went right back out in the fucking coal.
She
mine.
Was hoeing... No, she was hoeing corn, Timmy, because the man was doing the coal.
Okay.
She was planting a garden and doing everything else. Baby pop out. She just put it in a blanket. Wipe it off. Keep hoeing.
Oh, she kept hoeing for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently they did not believe in
birth control
because they had 10 kids. But that's okay. You know, it's a big family. George's business is truck. Oh, he was a truck. Remember, he had his truck driving business.
Yeah.
It prospered. Brandy, that means it did well.
It did well, Brandy.
What? I'm not the fucking dillweed sitting at this goddamn table.
Well, sometimes
I
you look like you're...
I don't know who the fuck you're...
We like
sometimes
down
we
the
say
words.
Words and you look confused.
Yeah.
Because most of the time they're mispronounced when you say them. Most of the time they're not... You don't say them the way that they're supposed to be said.
We like to put our own...
Hence where the confusion comes from.
Put our own spin on it.
Yeah, we like customized words.
Who you fuckers think you're talking to?
We're like Jesse Jackson. We like to just make up words.
Bigly.
So anyway, his business prospered. They became a respected middle class family. However, George had strong opinions on many subjects. He was not shy about expressing them and sometimes alienating those around him. In particular, he was very opposed to then Italian dictator Benito Mussolini.
Well, ain't nobody like
Mussolini. I was going to say, wasn't everybody
opposed? Well, no, because remember, they're living in a community where there's a lot of Italians. And this is 1923. This is before World War II. So, you know, Mussolini was, you know, he was the dictator of Italy during this time, and there was some Italians who supported him, even Italian Americans. So that led to some arguments between George and members of the immigrant community in there in Smithers, West Virginia. So number 10, the
last...
You don't
want to get a bunch of Italians mad, Timmy.
Well, we'll soon find out. The last of the Sauter children, Sylvia, was born in 1943. Now, who would that... What does that make Jenny? Sylvia's mother, Colonel.
Oh?
No. Sylvia's mother is a great song by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Machine.
Oh, okay.
Randy doesn't remember that's for her time.
Yeah, because you guys are old, and I am not.
Their oldest son by that point was named Joe, and this is 1943 now, so the war started, right? And Joe left home to serve in the military during World War II. The following year, in 1944, Mussolini was deposed and executed. And
he had it coming.
He got caught with his mistress, and they hung him up.
They hung him up and spit on him, drug him through the street. Disemboweled
him and all kinds
of stuff. Made him naked, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out naked, Tim.
Nobody wants you to go out naked.
Yeah. No. Yet George's criticism of the late dictator had left some hard feelings in the Italian-American community in which he lived.
Well, you would have thought he would have just said, see, told you I was right.
Well, he probably did, and there's where the hard feelings come in.
Yeah. In the fall of 1945, which is at the end of, you know, after the end of the Second World War, Colonel, those mic stands are made to stay stable.
I know, I'm just adjusting mine.
All right.
Sounded like you were giving it a hand job.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's the lowest form of sex, I think, is a hand job.
I think it's acceptable under certain conditions.
Yeah, but almost like when
I mean, if you're in
nothing,
a car driving.
Fair enough. But then you can get roadhead.
It depends now on
Brandy.
If you got a stick shift or not.
Have you ever? I'm out of this fray.
Now, you can. It's just me and Chuck.
It's just
you know what?
Us.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem that I have here. One day, my children may say, "Mom, what happened to that podcast that you used to do?" And if I tell them, they will come across this, and this is not what
you
I
know,
want for them.
You know, the worst feeling in the world is when you're out somewhere and someone says, "Oh, I've listened to your podcast."
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Don't you like one?
Yeah. Oh, you're Tim.
Yeah. Oh, try being a colonel.
Yeah, try walking in the colonel's shoes.
Yeah, try walking in the colonel boots for a
little
while.
I get generally positive feedback because people love me.
Well, people love me, too.
So
I'm very fucking lovable.
You know.
Right.
You know, I want you to just think about this. And you know, me, you know me, Timmy.
I do know.
I'm an observer of people.
You know.
Yeah. I'm an observer of people.
Yeah.
And I'm much like that guy, The Mentalist.
Nope.
You that show?
You're not like that guy at all.
So
you're like the mentally retarded or something.
We started talking about Roadhead, and we asked the devil. And now, had the devil never done such deviant things,
she would have just spouted it right out and said,
Never did it. Nope.
Have no idea what you're talking about. Now.
But you know,
I don't even know what that means.
You know
I don't know what that
said?
Means.
You know what she said? Oh, I'm not going to talk about this. Yeah. My children are going to listen one day. So, you knob gobbler, You
really?
Yeah.
All right. What top speed did you get?
Yeah. How fast did he go?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did he have a stick shift?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Does it make it harder with a stick?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know the term.
Because back in the old days with bench seats, it was a lot easier.
Back in the old days.
One thing we can talk about is her affair with her older man that she had.
The professor.
Yeah, the professor. Like on Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Did he look like that professor?
Did he look like him?
No.
Did he have little patches on his sweater?
He did not. Above his sweater. Can we not? Can we just?
No. Did you get a good grade?
Didn't you want to go home?
Yeah, what are you going to tell us what he taught? This is what, your freshman year?
Economics.
Oh, that's a hard class. I can understand.
Oh,
why
yeah, yeah. Was it micro or macro? Because that makes a difference.
Both.
Oh, yeah. She had to sleep with. She was never going to get through that class.
Oh, you know she had to.
Yeah.
In no way.
And the English teacher.
Really?
Really. And the science teacher.
Yeah, yeah. And you know she was. What? You know she was putting out for her stats teacher.
Oh, hell yeah.
Her calculus teacher. Yeah, she had to do. She was doing the reverse cowgirl. No.
What? No. No.
It's okay. That would just happen.
No. You know what? You got your degree. That's you got your all degree. That matters.
Yeah. You really? Used the skills available to you
through
to solve a problem.
No.
It's all that matters is you have that piece of paper.
What, you know what?
Wrong. Doesn't matter if you slept with half the faculty to get it. Yeah. You've got that piece of paper.
Wrong. Here's the thing.
And this is in a college day, so it didn't matter if the woman was it was a woman or a man.
What?
She go both ways.
You know what?
When
first of all.
When did you start experimenting with your lesbianism?
No. First of all.
You're not denying.
You barely graduated high school.
Again, you're not.
So let's not. You can't even pass the bar.
To do that.
You can't even pass the bar.
I would have slept with someone if I didn't have to take the bar exam. I would have.
You didn't take the bar exam.
I said if I could just have taken it like you, apparently spreading your legs every time you needed something.
What? No. No.
There's nothing wrong with it, Brandy. We're not judging.
We're not judging.
First of all, you are like, you're a bunch of judging old biddies sitting there. First of all,
we just wanted to know if you felt comfortable telling us a story about the time you slept with your professor.
No,
but you did. You're not denying the fact that you did at one time.
I will neither confirm nor deny
all
that.
Right. Okay. That means
I plead the fifth.
See, I'm doing the mentalist again. She did it.
Yeah, she banged her professor. Mm-hmm. Economics.
Really? At least I'm not banging some waitress for free chicken wings over at BW3's.
Oh, believe me, it's not free.
Are you getting mozzarella sticks with that?
I don't know. I think he's got to put out more
to
get
She left that job. I have a feeling that she does not have a stable
work history.
Yeah.
Well, what do you care?
I don't.
You'll be her stable work history. You'll support her.
I help her during her transition period. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to help single mothers.
I know. You're a giver that way.
Does she got kids?
Yeah.
Of course she does.
And a drug habit.
But she doesn't have 10 like Jenny Sauter has.
Well, tell us more about them.
Could you imagine what that vagina is like after 10, Timmy?
No, I couldn't. In October of 1945.
I bet it's in worse shape than the woman who got kicked in the vagina in a previous episode.
Yeah, man. That's, you know, don't kick anyone in a vagina. We oppose that, don't we, Colonel?
We are anti-vagina kicking.
Yeah.
That's awful nice of you.
We're on the record. Are you joining us? You're going to sit there and be quiet and
Clearly.
Give consent to vagina kicking by your silence.
Yeah.
Clearly, I am anti-vagina kicking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm part of the AVK League.
I didn't know there was a whole leg.
The AVKL.
Do you have a buddy bowl?
No. It's like the League of Women Voters.
Okay.
Like that. Or Legion or whatever. I am part of it.
You're against vagina kicking.
I am against vagina kicking. However, at this point, I am all for kicking somebody in the nuts if we don't get on with this.
All right. Let's move on, shall we?
You seem a little hostile today.
She does. Today?
Come on. I'm just...
I'm going to eat some pretzels.
I'm being kind.
I think I'm going to eat some pretzels.
You better not eat no fucking pretzel.
Out of tinfoil.
In October 1945, that's 2 months before 1945 ended, a man tried to sell the family life insurance and became irritated when George declined. In response, the man said, and I quote, "Your goddamn house is going to go up in smoke. Your children are going to be destroyed, and you're going to pay for the dirty remarks you've been making about Mussolini, motherfucker." Now, he didn't say the motherfucker part, but he did say everything but the motherfucker part. Basically, so, threatening him for not buying life insurance.
Basically, yeah.
Saying his house was going to go up in smoke for making dirty remarks about Mussolini.
Well, Mussolini kind of had it coming.
Well, let's stay focused, Colonel.
Okay.
Another visitor to the house came there seeking work. Took to the occasion to go around back and warn George that a pair of his fuse boxes would cause a fire someday. Odd, you say?
I think George was warned.
Well, he was puzzled by this observation since he had just had the house rewired when an electric stove was installed just previously.
Damn, they was living large back then, electric stove.
Yeah, well, he was balling.
Baller.
He was a baller. In the weeks before Christmas of 1945, his older son noticed a strange car parked along the main highway through town. Its occupants were watching the younger solder children as they returned from school. A little creepy?
Yeah.
Pedophile.
On Christmas Eve, that's December 24th.
Thank you.
1945, the solder family home burned down.
No shit.
The family had gathered in the living room that evening to open a few gifts before the fire.
Right. I didn't think it was after.
Yeah. As the night grew late, George retired for the evening. He went to bed, followed shortly by his sons, John, who was 23 years old, and George Jr., who was 16. See, now why wouldn't you name your first son Jr.? And then you're free to name all your other kids something else.
Maybe he should have named them all George Foreman.
You know, my brother was the oldest, and they did not name him after my dad. And then I was the second. I was junior.
Okay.
It's fascinating. It's
interesting
it's
tidbit.
It's fascinating.
When Jenny decided it was time for the rest of the children to go to bed, they pleaded with her to stay up and play with their toys that their older sister, Marion, who was 17, had bought for them for Christmas. So, you know, it's
why
Christmas
didn't George
Eve.
Buy some?
Well, they did. They
George
did,
appears to be a little bit of a dick because he just went to bed because everybody else is still up.
No, no, you know, I don't know what tradition was in your family, but we were allowed to open a couple presents on Christmas Eve, and I think that's what they did here.
No. Yeah, I got that. I'm not aggravated that they opened presents. I don't give a fuck about that. What I'm saying is George just goes, he's the first one to go to bed. He's not fucking, I'm done. Because he's tarred.
He's amazing.
Well, because he worked nice, hard.
He worked hard and he was tarred.
And he was tarred.
And so, he slept because he was tarred.
Yeah, but you know what? But George goes to bed first and leaves the iron vagina up to deal with all these kids.
Well, first of all, George is a working man.
I understand that, but you think she's not?
What's she
doing? Yeah.
She's got
George
14 kids running around now.
She ain't hauling coal.
Once you get more than four kids, the kids take care of themselves.
No, these aren't the Duggars.
Yeah, they take care of themselves.
Yeah.
No.
She had a 17-year-old. The 17-year-old was raising the kids.
I think Marion was working. She had a part-time job.
Yeah,
that's
they're not the Duggars. This woman's raising all them kids, and her husband has the stones to go to bed. That sounds like something my husband would do.
Well, he was tired. He worked hard. And
Your husband works hard.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm just saying.
No. Go ahead.
After her children promised Jeannie that they would get a few chores done before they went to bed, Jeannie agreed to let them continue to play. And
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And then took the youngest child, Sylvia, who was 2 years old at the time, to bed with her. Around 12:30 Christmas morning, a.m., Brandy.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's in the morning. It means around the morning. That's what is that what it means?
P.m. means past morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, 12:30 a.m. Christmas morning, after everyone had gone to sleep, the telephone rang.
Well, I'll be damned.
Jenny rushed to answer it.
Was somebody in a ditch?
I don't know. No. This is very interesting.
Okay.
Jenny rushed to answer it. An unfamiliar female voice asked for an unfamiliar name. Kind of wrong number type of thing. There was a loud laughter and glasses clinking in the background. And Jenny told the lady that she had the wrong number and she hung up. Okay. Tiptoeing back to bed, Jenny noticed that all of the downstairs lights were still on and the curtains were open. The front door was unlocked. She saw Marion asleep on the sofa, one of her kids, in the living room, and assumed that the other kids were upstairs in bed. She turned out the lights, closed the curtains, locked the door, and returned to her bedroom. You know, she probably sleeping with George, and George probably got those long johns on.
Well, they were probably doing it.
Oh, they was doing
evidently
it.
Evidently, this is all they do is do it.
He was tired.
George, you don't know.
George even did it when he was tired.
Yeah.
He had to. She was fucking nympho.
Right, and probably George wasn't encountering a whole lot of friction with that thing either, so.
She probably did a reverse cowgirl on him.
Or dirty what? Flower because the whole vagina thing
clearly
wore
they did
out.
Not do the dirty flower.
No,
at
by
all,
this time
ever.
They did because the vagina was wore out.
No.
Jeez,
no,
anyway, this woman, she opened her legs to furnace kick on. It's like,
well, no, her youngest was two. She was primed and ready to roll.
She had just, Jenny had just begun to doze off when she heard one sharp, loud bang on the roof. And it was a rolling noise.
Think it could have been a reindeer?
A bomb.
Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bomb. Well, those reindeer names are pretty fucked up.
Prancer.
Yeah.
Who
you've had
Jimmy
a boner
Kip
from Rudolph here lately.
Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
You've been posting a lot
you've
of Rudolph
You've been posting
memes.
A lot of Rudolph shit.
I don't have one. I don't have strong feelings one way or the
Everybody's
other.
Everybody's a dick to Rudolph until
well,
they meet him.
Well,
and
you
then
know,
him.
It's...
I mean, that's true. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying...
The story was about racism, and people are too stupid to see it. I mean, some people.
I don't think it's about racism
sure
per se. I think it's about
Chuck
making.
Was too stupid to
yeah,
see it.
I think it's about
my point exactly.
It's not racism. It's about making fun of people who have
are
special
different.
Needs or different. Yeah.
All right. An hour later, Jenny would wake up again. This time by heavy smoke curling into her room.
Ooh.
So what happens next, Brandy?
It was about 1 a.m. when the fire broke out. George and Jenny and four of their children escaped, but the other five were never seen again. The cause was officially traced to defective wiring, despite the fact that the Christmas tree lights were still on after the fire started. George had tried to save them. I assume the children, not the Christmas tree lights.
Well, I would say the Christmas tree lights, because they're expensive. You know, mm-hmm. And, you know, that was back in the day. If one
in
of them
day.
Went out, the whole string
yeah.
would go out.
What do you mean back in the day? Like last week? Because shit
and
still does that.
You had to lick the bulb when you screwed it in.
It was big bulbs, too.
Big bulbs.
Yeah. I like the little twinkly ones that go on.
I like the big bulbs. I'm a big bulb man.
Georgia tried to go back in. He broke a window to re-enter the house.
So he's
cut open his arm, actually, trying to get back in the house.
Trying to save the kids.
He couldn't see anything through the smoke and fire, which had swept through all of the downstairs rooms. Living room, dining room, kitchen, office, and the master bedroom, him and Jenny's bedroom.
That's where they did the dirty deed.
Mm-hmm. It's where the magic happened. Mm-hmm. He took frantic stock of what he knew. 2-year-old Sylvia, whose crib was in their bedroom, was safe outside, as was 17-year-old Marion and 2 sons, 23-year-old John and 16-year-old George Jr., who'd fled the upstairs bedroom they shared, singeing their hair on the way out. George figured Maurice, Martha, Lewis, Jenny, and Betty still had to be up there.
See, so they named one of their kids Jenny. I don't like it when women name kids after themselves, Colonel.
No, it's an unnatural thing. Well,
they had
thing.
To start running out of
Jenny
names.
Junior.
Yeah,
JJ. Like
Jenny Junior.
Yeah, JJ. Juniors. Women should not be called juniors.
Little Jenny. And she's probably about, you know, anytime you call somebody Little Jenny, they're going to grow up to be
or tiny.
Very big, yeah.
Okay, so he figured they were still in the, those kids were still up in the bedrooms at either end of the hallway. They were separated by a staircase that was now engulfed in flames. He raced back outside, hoping to reach them through the upstairs windows, but the ladder he always kept propped against the house was missing.
Odd.
Hmm. He then decided he would drive one of his 2 coal trucks up to the house and climb atop it to reach the windows. Even though they had functioned properly the day before, neither would start now. He ransacked his mind for another option. He tried to scoop water from a rain barrel, but found it frozen. 5 of his children were stuck somewhere inside those great whipping ropes of smoke. His daughter, Marion, sprinted to a neighbor's home to call the Fayetteville Fire Department, but couldn't get an operator response. The hell? A neighbor who saw the blaze made a call from a nearby tavern, but again, no operator responded. Exasperated, the neighbor drove into town and tracked down the fire chief, Mr. F.J. Morris, who initiated Fayetteville's version of the fire alarm. It was a phone tree system whereby one firefighter phoned another who phoned another.
Oh.
So sure, yeah, they have the same system for fires that we do for snow days.
How did they get to operate, I guess?
They're following the...
Nobody got an operator. Evidently the fire chief.
Safety in place.
Yeah. The fire department was about 2.5 miles away, but the crew didn't arrive until 8 a.m.
Jesus Christ. 8 hours later.
Yeah. Wow. By which point, of course, the home was...
They'll get a bad review on Yelp for that one.
Yeah, that's not the best service in the world.
No.
It's like that Martin, that Steve Martin movie, Cyrano. Uh-huh. He was a fire captain. Uh-huh. Where he
Roxanne.
Has the meltdown. Roxanne. God damn it. You know what I want? I only want one thing in my life. When there's a fire, people say, no matter what you do, don't call the fire department. That's in that movie.
Really?
Oh, okay. Mm.
That's some
well, the movie's
wit.
Roxanne.
Wit.
Mm.
Quick wit.
It's not Roxanne.
Yes,
Roxanne.
The movie's called Roxanne.
Roxanne.
Nope. Nope.
You don't have to
you know,
put on
I saw
a red light.
You know what I
no.
saw is that...
Roxanne.
No,
I'm saying. I saw that U2 was putting out a new album. I hope they don't put that shit on my phone again. I still got the fucking shit on my phone.
I hope they do.
Why don't you just delete it?
I thought I did.
You shouldn't have to.
I shouldn't have to delete it. It's all. It's you know. It's taking up my space.
So you say U2's like chlamydia. You didn't ask for it, but it showed
got
up
it
on
anyway.
It.
I don't like it. But go back to the story because this is fascinating.
All right. So they get there at 8 a.m.
A little late.
After the fire broke out at 1. So how
if
many
they
hours
said,
is that?
Did they start the sirens? I mean, what's the point? What's the point?
I don't know. The 2 oldest sons and daughter and the youngest daughter survived, but the 5 middle children were missing, and no trace of their remains were found. The 5 children to die or disappear were Maurice, 14, Martha, 12, Lewis, 10, Jenny, 8, and Betty, 6. In the initial police report, John told the police he entered the other bedroom and shook the children to get them up. He would later claim that he assumed the children were awake and would get up.
Yeah, it's one of the order.
They did not survive the fire, or did they?
Dun, dun, dun.
That's a question.
George and Jenny assumed that 5 of their children were dead, but a brief search of the ground on Christmas turned up no trace of remains.
It's odd.
Chief Morris suggested that the blaze had been hot enough to completely cremate the bodies. A state police inspector combed through the rubble and attributed the fire to faulty wiring. Distraught at the loss of his children, George covered the basement with 5 feet of dirt intended to preserve the site as a memorial.
Yeah, so he kind of made a makeshift grave there for them.
The coroner's office went ahead and issued 5 death certificates just before the new year, attributing the causes to fire or suffocation. Jenny was not convinced. She couldn't understand how 5 children could perish in a fire and leave no bones, no flesh, nothing.
Bones don't burn.
She conducted a private experiment, burning animal bones, chicken bones, beef joints, pork chop bones, to see if the fire consumed them. Each time she was left with a heap of charred bones. She knew that remnants of various household appliances had been found in the burnt-out basement, still identifiable. An employee at a crematorium informed her that bones remain after bodies are burned for 2 hours at 2,000 degrees. Their house was destroyed in 45 minutes. Now, believing that the fire was to cover the abduction of her children, George and Jenny Sauter spent a fortune on detectives to investigate.
Yeah, and they did it till the day they died. I mean, they
I mean, how do you not?
Yeah.
Several pieces of evidence and eyewitnesses backed up George's kidnapping belief. A telephone repairman told the Sauters that their lines appeared to have been cut, not burned. They realized that if the fire had been electrical, the result of faulty wiring, as the official report stated, then the power would have been dead. So how do you explain the lighted downstairs rooms?
And the Christmas lights.
Yes. A witness came forward claiming he saw a man at the fire scene taking a block and tackle used for removing car engines. Could he be the reason George's trucks refused to start? One day, while the family was visiting the site, Sylvia found a hard rubber object in the yard. Jenny recalled hearing the hard thud on the roof, the rolling sound. George concluded it was a napalm pineapple bomb. Of the type used in Norfolk. So they napalmed his fucking house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. A Molotov cocktail type of deal.
Too. Well,
then, remember she heard that noise right on the roof before?
Yes, because I just read it.
Yeah.
Too, again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then came the reports of sightings. A woman claimed to have seen the missing children peering from a passing car while the fire was in progress. A woman operating a tourist stop between Fayetteville and Charleston, some 50 miles west, said she saw the children the morning after the fire. I served them breakfast, she told the police. There was a car with Florida license plate at the tourist court, too. A woman at a Charleston hotel saw the children's photos in a newspaper and said she'd seen 4 of the 5 a week after the fire. The children were accompanied by 2 women and 2 men, all of Italian extraction. I do not remember the exact date. However, the entire party did register at the hotel and stayed in a large bedroom with several beds. They registered about midnight. I tried to talk to the children in a friendly manner, but the men appeared hostile and refused to allow me to talk to these children. One of the men looked at me in a hostile manner. There's a lot of hostility. He turned around and began talking rapidly in Italian. Immediately, the whole party stopped talking to me, and I sensed I was being frozen out, so I said nothing more. They left early the next morning. 2 years after the fire in 1947, George and Jenny sent a letter about the case to the FBI and received a reply from J. Edgar Hoover. Although I would like to be of service, the matter related appears to be of a local character and does not come within the investigative jurisdiction of this bureau. Well, Hoover was very busy.
He was dressing up.
I mean, just a side note here.
He liked to feel pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I got a text from Allie asking her, and she said that cremation takes 2.5 hours at 1400 to 1800 degrees, and then you got to run them through a blender because you still got bone fragments.
Thank you, Allie. All right. Continue.
Don't ask me how Allie knows this stuff.
I'm wondering why you asked.
Allie knows.
But I'm wondering why you asked when I read it.
Yeah, she read basically the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah. You should focus.
Oh,
Jesus fucking Christ.
He was doing a little research.
I was doing a little extra research.
You know when but it had been the time for research?
Prior to the podcast.
I'm just throwing that out there. Timmy, write that down.
All right.
You know how I could have researched this prior to the podcast?
Is Reddit?
First of all,
Did you get a copy of the script?
No.
So how was I going to read the script?
Because you guys don't read the script.
I didn't get a copy. Didn't mean you didn't.
I didn't get a copy. Timmy brought a copy up with him. I didn't even know what story we was going.
I know that.
I told you guys.
He said it was the Souders. I thought it was about the people that made furniture that they sell it.
No.
Continue, Brandy. We're going to have to get the fancy monkey in here.
Or at least put a fez on him. Hoover's agents said that they would assist if they could get permission from the local authorities. But, you know, the Fayetteville police and fire departments respectfully declined.
We got this.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you. Next, the Sodders turned to a private investigator named C.C. Tinsley, who discovered that the insurance salesman who'd threatened George was a member of the coroner's jury that deemed the fire accidental. He also heard a curious story from a Fayetteville minister about F.J. Morris, the fire chief. Although Morris had claimed no remains were found, he supposedly confided that he'd discovered a heart in the ashes.
Now, there's no way you
No, that didn't happen.
Unless it was your heart, that's hard and stony and wouldn't burn up. But go ahead.
Impregnable.
Impregnable, yeah. Not like the vagina Jenny. Lady. Jenny was pregnable.
Yeah, she was.
Yes, yes.
So supposedly he took the heart.
Why don't you just got him five more kids?
They could have knocked that out in 4 years.
So supposedly he took the heart that he discovered in the ashes and put it inside a dynamite box and buried it at the scene.
Not being a parent, I don't really understand it, but, you know, people seem to get attached to their kids.
Well, it depends. All of a sudden you got to cut the grass on your own now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pain. That's why they had a bunch of kids back then, because there's a lot of chores to be done.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of work to do around the farm.
Now all of a sudden your staff been cut in half.
Yeah.
Tinsley persuaded Morris to show him the spot, and together they dug up the box and took it straight to the local funeral director, who poked and prodded the heart and concluded that it was a beef liver untouched by the fire.
Hmm.
What a dumbass.
Well, I mean, you know, beef liver and a heart, they kind of look alike.
Hmm. Soon after, the Sodders heard rumors that the fire chief had told others that the content of the box had not been found in the fire at all, that he had buried the beef liver in the rubble in the hopes that finding any remains would placate the family enough to stop the investigation.
All right, so he goes out and
plants evidence.
Plants evidence.
What
okay.
a dick.
I don't trust this guy.
No.
Well, there was an aftermath to this, Timmy. Uh-oh. There was some fallout.
All right. Lay it on me, Colonel.
Over the next few years, the tips and leads continued to come.
All right.
George saw a newspaper photo of school children in New York City and was convinced that one of them was his daughter, Betty.
Yeah, this is kind of creepy.
So he drives all the way to Manhattan in search of the child, but her parents refuse to speak to him, which I would too.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of creepy? Like, you know, that's my daughter. I mean...
Well, I don't know. If somebody showed up at my house and said, hey, I saw a picture of Logan, I think he's mine, I want to take him, I'd probably send him off with him, but...
Sure, so, we're going to appreciate that.
In August 1949, the Sodders decided to mount a new search at the fire scene.
Said mount.
They mounted. They decided, he's done more mounting than anybody. He decided.
He had that mounting pretty down pretty pat.
Yeah, because all through July, Mr. Sodder had decided to mount Mrs. Sodder,
but
now we're mounting a search.
Okay, so they haven't given up yet.
They haven't given up.
All right.
And brought in a Washington, D.C. fancy pants pathologist named Oscar B. Hunter.
Mm. Name like that, he's got to be qualified.
Oh, I would think. The excavation was thorough, uncovering several small objects, damaged coins, a partly burned dictionary, and several shards of vertebrae.
Mm.
Hunter sent the bodies to the Smithsonian Institute, the bones to the Smithsonian Institution, which issued the following report. The human bones consist of four lumbar vertebrae belonging to one individual. Since the transverse recesses are fused, the age of this individual at death would have been 16 or 17 years old. Because the top limit of age should be about 22, since the centra, which normally fuse at 23, are still unfused. On this basis, the bones show greater skeletal maturation than one would expect for a 14-year-old boy.
So there were no match, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah. The Olding misses. Boy, aren't you glad the devil didn't get that part? She'd have stumbled through it.
Oh, yeah. I try to give her the one or two syllable words.
It is, however, possible, although not probable, for a 14-and-a-half-year-old boy to show 16- to 17-year-old maturation.
Well, I showed certain maturations in certain parts of my body at an early age, Colonel.
Myself, I did too, Timmy. I did too.
And, gross.
Always happy to shower after gym class, Colonel.
And before gym class.
Yeah. Love to show off.
Love to shower. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people used to just cut a path for me, just a swath, so I would not.
Did they get together and start clapping?
Sometimes they would, yeah. Sometimes they would. So now the vertebrae showed no evidence that it had been exposed to fire, and a report said it is very strange that no other bones were found in the allegedly careful excavation of the basement of the house. Noting that the house reportedly burned for only about a half an hour or so, it said that one would expect to find full skeletons of the five children rather than only four vertebrae. The bones, the report concluded, were most likely in the supply of dirt George used to fill in the basement to create a memorial for the children.
So he inadvertently planted the...
Drug somebody's body in there with him. So the Smithsonian report prompted two hearings at the Capitol in Charleston, after which Governor Oki L. Patterson and State Police Superintendent W.E. Burchett told Stoddard their search was hopeless and declared the case closed, Timmy. But undeterred, George and Jenny erected the billboard along Route 16 and passed out flyers offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of their children.
Yeah, that billboard was there forever, too.
They soon increased it to the amount of $10,000. Then a letter arrived from a woman in St. Louis saying the oldest girl, Martha, was in a convent there. Another tip came from Texas, where a patron in a bar overheard an incriminating conversation about a long-ago Christmas Eve fire in West Virginia. Someone in Florida claimed the children were staying with a distant relatives of Jenny's. George traveled the country to investigate each lead, always returning home without any answers. Now, in 1968, many, many years later, Timmy, 23 years after the fire, Jenny went to get the mail and found an envelope addressed only to her. It was postmarked in Kentucky, but had no return address on it, Timmy.
Yeah, this is a weird event.
Inside was a photo of a man in his mid-20s. On its flip side, a cryptic handwritten note read, "Louis Sada, I love brother Frankie. The boys, A90132 or 35. Now, Jenny and George sounds like prison numbers to me. Jenny and George couldn't deny the resemblance to their Lewis, who was 9 at the time of the fire. But beyond the obvious similarities here, dark curly hair, dark brown eyes, they had the same straight, strong nose, Timmy.
Yeah, if you see the pictures, they do look a lot alike.
The same upward tilt of the left eyebrow. Once again, they hired a private dick and sent him straight to Kentucky. They never heard from him again. Not the dick, but the guy who sent the picture. The Sodas feared
that was kind of a dick move for the detective.
Yeah. The Sodas feared that if they published a letter or the name of the town, the postmark, they might harm their son. Instead, they amended the billboard to include the updated image of Lewis and hung an enlarged version in the same sentence over the fireplace. George Sada died in 1968 without ever resolving the mystery of his missing children. Jenny, because without George gone, she had to do something, so she erected a fence around her property because she loved erecting things and began adding rooms to her home, building layer after layer between her and the outside. Since the fire, she had worn black exclusively as a sign of mourning, and plus she had kind of a big butt and made her look slimmer.
Jesus.
And continued to do so until her own death in 1989. The billboard finally came down in the 1990s. The youngest and last surviving sighted child, Sylvia, is now 74 years old and does not believe that her siblings perished in that fire. Now, there's a lot of theories here, Timmy.
What are they? Some of the different theories?
Well, so many questions. So the many questions involved in this mystery include, and it's hard to begin sorting out what the mysteries contained in this story. Some of the questions are, who was the woman on the phone? Was right, she in some way connected to that fire?
Phone that call that they got right prior to the fire starting, right?
Who moved the ladder?
Right.
Did someone throw fireballs at the Sodders' home that night? Whose bones were at the site? Who were the children the women saw in the Charleston restaurant? Who sent the photo in 1968? And who is the young man in that photo? What? No, Timmy, where did the private investigator disappear to? So it was the private Dick that they never heard from again.
Yeah, I think he just went on a drunk.
Yeah, he did. Who put the cow's liver on the site? And who stole the cookie from the cookie jar?
What?
Well, that's what? I guess that's a game you never play with your kids.
No.
Timmy stole the cookie from the cookie jar.
All right. Okay. That's not part of the story.
And possibly the biggest question, if, as George and Jenny suspected, the five children had not been killed in the fire but had been abducted, who and why? The four theories. Mm-hmm. Children died in a fire. I think we can scratch that one out.
Oh, I don't think so. I think there's a chance.
Where's their remains?
Well, I just think they didn't find him, or he shoveled that dirt and they got lost when he did that. Or
George had mob connections and the children were killed in retaliation by the mob. But why? Again, where are the bodies?
And why would you do that? I mean, why would you do that and not let them know that if you were trying to send a message, wouldn't you let them know what the message was?
I would think. The other theory, the children were killed.
And mobs don't generally kill family members, do they?
No.
No. Children were killed due to George's comments about Mussolini, but Mussolini was dead by then. Nobody cared.
Well, I mean, people still might have been pissed at him, but I don't see that as a motivating factor either.
And the number one theory, the children were kidnapped.
Yeah, but why? Why would you go in and kidnap five kids? I mean, that's
a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. And
because you sell them.
Yeah, but I mean, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? You take a big chance of being caught when you can just pick
not
them
when
off
you
one,
have,
one
no,
by
you have
one.
No, when you have backup.
Okay, Brandy, what? So your theory is, Brandy, that they were kidnapped? You think
they were kidnapped and sold.
Chuck, what's your theory on this?
I think they saw an opportunity to get out of George's house. They ran away, joined the circus.
Oh, we did not. What's your theory?
My theory is they were kidnapped.
Okay. My theory is they died in the fire, and they just for some reason were unable to find their remains. But that billboard stayed up there for many years. I think it only came down. I don't know if you read that, but it didn't come down.
1990 something.
Yeah.
In the 90s, when Duran Duran and the Devil when the Devil was in the clubs. Hopping around.
By the way, for our listeners who don't know,
Duran Duran.
Brandy will be soon appearing in a UFC event fighting Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
That's going to be quite the event.
That's news to me.
Well, she called you out.
She called you out. She's been calling you out on Twitter all the time.
She's only 4 foot tall.
She's badass.
I think I can take her.
She ain't afraid of you.
Mm-hmm. I can take her.
So for those of you who want to, it's a pay-per-view. It's $475 for the pay-per-view, but it's going to be some event.
Me and Timmy are going to have ringside seats.
We are.
And Amy Schumer's side.
I'm going to beat you both with Amy Schumer.
Colonel, you have some shout-out for us?
I got all kinds of shout-outs today, Timmy.
Well, let them roll.
Lovely Tasha and hello, Miss Ophelia.
Her mother, yes. Very Merry Christmas to Tasha and Ophelia.
Yeah. Rebecca Montanle.
Hi, Rebecca. She's a very lovely girl, by the way.
Rebecca is a lovely girl. Annette Petrie.
Our friend in the Bronx.
With Obsessively Calm.
Yes.
Steph Glenn.
Hey, Steph.
Christina Hodges. Christina Montana. Maria Barbara, Jennifer Potts, Cindy Overstreet Hamilton.
Hi, Cindy. Cindy's very active on her page. I like that.
Paul Mampilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lebrano, Brittany Powell, the two Heathers.
Why Heather Hall. You don't say Chris. Oh, you Powell. Oh, I'm sorry.
Powell.
Powell, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Shh, Timmy, don't help.
Andaza, Jeff Hopkins.
Turn your phone off.
John Janke, Mike Tabor, Lise, of course.
Or whatever.
Kevin Behan.
My ring.
Carol Nash. Terry Hemsley.
There's your ringtone.
Heather Marshall. Maddie Kennan. Pavlova. Amelia Sana or Orozco.
Sure.
Minicon.
God, you killed that.
Michael Daniel, Jen Moyer, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Brenda Deutsch, Stacy Lynn, of course, Jeffrey Dolan, Marion Buchwald, Jennifer Miller, Toby Deese, Susanna Sheldon, Ramoni Danger Howard, Skip Fiu, Callie Jones, Brandy Deese, Andy Smyser, Gigi, Norma DiMaggio. Let's see, we got Mike Eisenhower here, Danielle Fredrickson, Nancy Palomino Jalapeno, Kim Kazmersky Kawasaki.
Yeah, Toby Deese.
Toby Deese, Jennifer Hawkins, Tara Nee Chinchilla.
I don't think that's how you pronounce her last name.
Well, it's pretty close.
Nope.
Lindsay McMillan. Sonjana Adanki, Eddie Rushing, Yo Handler, Sammy James, my buddy Jason Dykes, Amy Carol Payne, Tyra Jenkins. Of course, we got Carlene Madison, who we promised to kill off, Timmy.
Yes, Carlene, thank you for...
Carlene, you're going to die a bloody gruesome death.
The Colonel is referring to our fiction podcast that we have coming up for our Christmas show. So we're not really killing anybody.
Yeah.
Just in the story.
Kelsey Froh, Peter Fulmer, Amber.
Right.
Anderson, Danielle Fredrickson, Christian Dorman. Dormer.
And
M. Waterfall.
Good, because she does not like you when you call her Little M. Waterfall.
She doesn't.
No.
Nope.
Why not?
She does not like that. She made a post on her Facebook page that she did not like to be called Little M. Waterfall.
How old is the woman?
I'm not sure how old.
If she's younger than me, I get to call anybody. It's my shout out. I call people whatever the hell.
Be nice. M, I'm sorry.
Susan Angles. Kirsten Davidson. Jeff Girdley, Sam Hildebrand, of course, Angie Ball, Jennifer and Linda, Missy Dean Horton, Britt and Chris, Celine, Dr. Jeff and Don, Teresa Slavin, Tommy Boomershine, Shonda and Larry, Diana Clark, the Trowbridges,
yes.
Colton, Phyllis Munson, Aaron Wentz and her lovely little dog, Donna Curran and her dog, Tucker. Brian and Lisa Lawton. Olivia Meyer. The beautiful Katja. I'm sorry, Katja.
Katja over there. Katja has been requesting a topic that we cover. And I've been promising her for a few months that we would do it. And
we'll do Katja, it for you, Katja.
We will after the 1st of January, Katja. We're going to do it.
Kate McCarthy, of course.
Who we just met today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've known Kate for a long time.
No, I mean, I just met her today.
Perfect. Little Fallon. I can call Fallon Little. She's 23 years old.
Lovely
Little
Fallon. Lovely Fallon.
Lovely little girl. Bridget Clavey, Byron Snelling, Denny McNamara, William Truax, Amber Krupp, Gina Spillane, Trixie, of course, Stephanie Quick, Sydney and Michael, Jamie Tarantino, Laura O'Reilly, Gabby Lewis, John Cunningham, Tara V.
Bond.
Gene Bond.
Lydia, of course, Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Jeff Appel, Christine.
Bourgeois.
Yeah. And you know what I'm I was shopping for Christmas last night, and Renee said, "What would you like for Christmas, Chuck?" And I said, "Well,
Katie, Moorhead."
There we go. Good Mary Lord. Ray, Marvin Hammond, Andy Volley, which leads us with the Colonel's crew, Timmy.
Okay.
Angie Ball.
Yes.
The Insight Ladies, Allie and Charlie.
Please check out Insight's great podcast.
Nicola, Sarah, Little Sarah Samosa Spaghetti, Jim Burdick, Karen Barnes, Janet Fitzgerald, Francis Doughton, Jessica Williams, Amanda Bocce Ball, Shannon Rossett out doing the Lord's work, Tiffany, Monica D. Hagostino, let's see who we got here. Radhika, lovely Radhika Smith, and Angela Cobes.
You know who's not on your list is Shonda, Rush, and Larry.
Yeah.
Oh,
did
yeah,
you get
they
them?
Are. They're right, right. here.
Quit helping.
Right there.
I'm sorry. Just trying to be helpful.
You seen how old bastard I call off the names you don't even remember?
Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
We have two Facebook pages, but the one that we interact on is called History Dweebs, the podcast. So just it's a group. So just send us a request, and you'll join that group. It's a closed group, and you'll get to interact with all of us as well, of all the people we've mentioned here in the shout-out list. A bunch of fun folks.
You can find us on iTunes.
iTunes, please leave us a review. If you listen to us on iTunes, that's how other people find us, and we will be much appreciated.
Twitter,
we have HistoryDweebs1, at HistoryDweebs1, and then you can follow the Colonel at HawkWaters.
And Libsyn.
Libsyn, yes. It's, Libsyn is where is our host site. You can find all of our...
You can find the back catalog on
yeah,
Libsyn.
Yeah, it's Tim T. Scott at Libsyn, LIBSYN.com.
Yep, and we have merch somewhere.
We have merch. You can find that on History Dweebs, just on the regular History Dweebs Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Anything yes. else?
Because Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. Winter is coming.
Winter is here. It's
very cold.
Colder now.
We have one more podcast that we're going to do before before Christmas. So hopefully we'll get this done tomorrow. And I always hate saying that because you never know what something will come up. But and it is going to be a special episode that we're dedicating to our listeners on History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group. Basically, we're going to
kill all you sons of bitches.
We're going to have a fictional podcast in which we're going to include our members. So if you would like to, check that out, that should be released in the next few days. But we encourage you to join our Facebook group. Again, as History Dweebs, the podcast.
It's free.
It is free.
No subscriptions.
And if you would like to support the podcast, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs. You can give a little, a lot, or...
just a wee bit. And somebody leave us a review on iTunes, because our last one was a bad one. I hate to have the last one hanging out there as a bad one.
Yes. So thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.